What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm here again with Marnie Barranco. I love having you on as our guest, Marnie. And Marnie is an Access Consciousness Certified Facilitator, and I just learned recently that she's a Conscious Parent, Conscious Kids Certified Facilitator. And so I have Marnie on here today because I want to know more about that. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back.
Awesome. So it is a topic, and why don't we just start with, do you know kind of the history a little bit of Conscious Parents, Conscious Kids, like the how it came about?
Well, Gary Douglas, founder of Access Consciousness, was the person who created it as a class, and in the beginning there were just a couple of facilitators, basically people that he said, you know, Glenna Rice was one of them, Brendan Watt was one, Megan Hill, his daughter Grace Douglas. I feel like I'm forgetting one. There were four or five that he said, you guys can, basically, you have kids, I've seen how you are with kids, so go facilitate classes, have fun with it. So they kind of started it, and there was no manual. They created a manual from the classes, and then things kind of evolved from there. And as of probably about a year and a half ago, it opened up to more people becoming facilitators. So there's different things, like different classes you have to take, books you have to read. So there's a few things that you are required to do, and then you get to facilitate either intro classes or 1 or 2 day classes. So it's sort of evolved as an Access Consciousness specialty class over the years. And so now I am a facilitator of it, and I'm also the creative producer of the whole specialty. So I get to work with all of the facilitators, and we have them around the world, literally from US, Canada, India, Australia, we've just Europe. We have CPCK is what we call it for short, facilitators all over the globe. So it's kind of fun to see how it's just, how it's evolved and grown.
Absolutely, yeah. So you are a parent yourself, right?
I am.
How many kids do you have?
So I have 3 sons, and the youngest one is 11. And then I have a senior in high school who's 18, and a 21-year-old who's in college. And I am a single mom. When I was married, I had 3 stepkids as well, who are very much part of my world. And so keeping track of ages gets challenging as I get older. There's another 21-year-old, a 22, and then 28. So 3 older ones. So there was a time in my life for about 10 years, I had a blended family of 6 kids. So,
wow, awesome.
Yeah.
And so when did you discover, when did you discover Conscious Parents, Conscious Kids and start applying those tools to your relationships with your kids?
Yes. So I came across the tools of Access Consciousness in 2011. And so before I knew about Conscious Parents, Conscious Kids, I took a BARS class, which is your first class you take in Access, and then I took a Foundation class. And one of the things that was talked about in Foundation class was a tool called Who Does This Belong To? And the idea behind the tool is that 98% of the thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you have aren't actually yours. You're just very psychic. You're very aware. You're picking up on everything, everybody around you. And so if you don't know any different, you think all of these things belong to you. So when you start to feel anything or have a particular thought, the tool says, just ask the question, who does this belong to? And if you notice that you're lighter in your world, then it's not yours. And you can just simply say, return to sender. And so my first encounter with Conscious Parents, Conscious Kids tools, before I knew about the actual classes themselves, was I was sitting at McDonald's. my 11-year-old was four at the time, and he's playing in the playland. I worked from home, so I had my computer and I was working. And I had this overwhelming sense of being tired. So at this time, it was summertime. All six kids were in the house for the summer. I had just taken him to McDonald's, and there was this, oh my God, I am so tired. I am always tired. I'm going to forever be tired. You know, being a parent is so tiring. And these are the things that are running through my head. And then I had this, oh, what was that tool in that foundation classic? Like, oh yeah, who does this belong to? And I thought, what the heck? Let me ask. So I just to myself, who does this belong to? And I can't even put into words how this was this space that opened up. And I just started giggling to myself because it was so quick and fast how it changed the energy. And I got the download of that is not actually true for me. I actually have a lot of energy all the time. I actually love having a million things going on. And being a parent of six kids contributes to that. This is actually fun for me. I'm just buying someone else's point of view. And that changed things dramatically for me. And it was shortly after that, well, basically I took the fast track to becoming a facilitator because I was so very excited about a facilitator with Access, not Conscious Parents, because I was so excited for the tools and the change it created in my life. So within, gosh, a year at most, I think less than that, from taking my first Access class, I became a certified facilitator. And it was during that facilitator training, a lot of times they had extra classes. And one lunch break, there was going to be a Conscious Parents, Conscious Kids. It was Brendan Watt and Glenna Rice. And so I stayed in through lunch to listen to the class and rocked my world. And it was so interesting because there were a lot of things that they said that I did already do as a parent, but no one had ever, I always just thought I was weird and wrong. And they actually put words to kind of what I naturally how I naturally was as a parent and added a bunch of tools that made things way more easy and way more fun. So that's kind of a long story to how I got to be a, find out about Conscious Parents, Conscious Kids, and then, you know, we're kind of gone from there. So
I, yeah, that's really awesome that you said you were even using some of the tools before you discovered some of the tools. And how did, like, finding out the tools and using them maybe even more change your relationship with your kids?
It changed it dramatically in the sense, well, the first thing I would say, the biggest shift was for me personally to not judge me to have to get it right all the time. Because I, you know, our kids are born into the world. And I was an early childhood education major in school. Taught preschool, was the director of a preschool. So you're supposed to know how to do this thing because you like have a degree and working with children. And then your first one is born and you're like, this is not textbook anymore. What am I supposed to do with this? So it got me out of my head, first of all, of trying to get it right all the time and have the right answer. And I took the pressure off because it's so interesting in our societies. There's lots of areas where we can get it not quite right. You know, maybe we don't get the career that we always thought we would have. Okay, well, you know, too bad. You know, not a big deal. Maybe it could have gone better, but oh well. You know, maybe you struggle with weight and whatever, and you might judge yourself about your weight, but, you know, it's not the worst thing. There's other things that, you know, could be worse. But when it comes to parenting, there's really a lot of stigma to you better get this right. You better do this right. And if you do it right, your kids will turn out well. And if you do it wrong, they're going to, you know, be serial killers. So you can't mess up here. This is like the one area you can't mess up. So one of the biggest shifts for me was to take the pressure off that thinking if I didn't get it right, my kids were going to suffer the consequences and that they weren't going to turn out okay. So that was a huge shift in the whole space of my household, because when mom and dad are in constant judgment and scrutiny of themselves, that creates a really not fun environment. So I would say that there was that. And the other thing was that it shifted things from, I let go of expectations, starting with myself. What are the expectations of a good mom? But then I let go of the expectations of my kids too, of how they should behave or that they should meet this landmark by this certain time in their development. You know, they should be crawling by this time. They should be walking by this time. They should be whatever. And all of those things that just get so ingrained of the right way it's supposed to be and all the expectations for myself and for them around that, I let that go. And what I would say, the short, maybe not so short answer is the environment changed to have way more fun, playfulness, ease and joy rather than, not that it was super tense or stressful, but there was that undertone of performance and trying to do the right thing, if that makes any sense. And that shifted a lot.
Awesome. So maybe you can speak to that a little bit more. Like, let's say you have an 11-year-old, but you've had some teenagers, right? And so how did you find a way to live in harmony and in communion? So which means, like, you know, the house, I'm guessing for me, the house isn't a disaster. and still be an allowance of them being a kid and doing their own thing. Like, does that make sense, the question?
It does. Yeah, and there's, I would say, more than one piece to it. My favorite parenting tool of all time is a tool that is called Interesting Point of View. And basically the way it works is every time you notice you have a point of view about something, you say, interesting point of view, I have that point of view. And you just keep saying it until you notice the shift. Because so many times we buy into points of view, we decide that something is real and true and significant and vital and it must be this way and it is this way. And it creates a lot of fight and a lot of tension for you and for your kids. And when you start to ask or say, interesting point of view, I have that point of view, you start to recognize most of the things you think are your point of view really aren't. You've just been told that. You've bought it from everyone else around you. And a perfect example of that is food. You know, I grew up in the house where you ate everything on your plate, and there were many nights my brother and I sat at the table till 10 o'clock at night because liver and onions, what was on the plate, and neither one of us wanted to eat it. But my mom always won. We stayed until we finally finished it. But so that's a point of view. Kids should finish everything on their plate, or kids shouldn't eat that much sugar, or soda pop is bad for you. All of those kinds of things. So if you just decide that that's real and true, and then your kid really likes sugar, then you're in a constant state of conflict because you've decided they shouldn't have sugar. All they want to eat is sugar. And then you just fight and fight. And as you know, anytime someone tells you you can't or pushes against you, you're going to fight and push back. And kids are no different. They're infinite beings and little bodies. And the little body does not make them any less potent, powerful, or strong. And so the best way to ensure a fight is to lock into a point of view. But if your kid's at the table, they don't want to eat what's on the plate, and you go, oh, they should eat, they should at least take two bites, they should, whatever runs in your head, and you go, interesting point of view, I have that point of view. Interesting point of view, I have that point of view. Then all of a sudden you go, it's really not a thing. There's really no thing here. You just create a space around it, and then you're free to choose something else. So that tool for me, huge. And at the same time, there is a piece of, I see a lot of parents take the tools of empowering their kids, but they leave themselves out of the equation. And that never works.
Yeah.
That never works because you're going to get resentful. And it's all based on this lie that's really strong in this society, which is in relationships, whether it's, you know, enjoyable other relationships, whether it's kids, whether it's coworkers, there's this kind of theme that runs that somebody wins and somebody loses. Somebody gets what they want, and the other person doesn't get what they want. And so when that's the point of view, then you as the parent are just either, you know what, who cares? I'm choosing it. I'm just going to do what I want. My kids don't matter. Or you as the parent go, my kids are the ones that get to have what they want. Everything gets to go their way. And then I just have to be the doormat that gets walked all over. So first thing is to get that. What if there's another possibility? What if it isn't the energy and the dynamic of win and lose? What if we can co-create something that works for both of us? And it starts with parents, with us saying, I matter too. I count too. I'm going to choose for me too. So then it becomes this, how do we create this together in a way that works for both of us? And when I say that, it's not about, when I say how, it's not about let's go find the formula that will work in every household. These are the rules that if every household would put in place, everything would be fine. Every person is different. Every parent is different. Every kid is different. So the key thing is you always, always, always have to be asking questions. What else is possible here? What are the infinite possibilities that I haven't yet considered? How does it get better than this? And when, if you're staying in the space of question instead of locking into any kind of how it's supposed to be or has to be, then all of a sudden options and things will show up And you can start to create from that space. So just an example, because one of the things is, you know, like chores, to do chores, to not do chores. And I'm trying to do chores, listen to the word. I mean, even do your chores. Right there, you're starting off with a, that's like the, I have to go work and sit in a cubicle for an adult for 8 hours and I absolutely hate it. Nobody wants to do chores. So, and I know for me, when I work from home in my main space in the house, I require a certain amount of organized to function. And so, but here's the thing. They don't care if it's organized. I do. But so we negotiate. And I said to my kids, look, you want to like leave stuff all over the place. Your room is your room. Close the door. I don't have to look at it. Here's my request is that downstairs in this tiny space that we share, that you be mindful that there's other people here and that it's not just all about you and you pick up after yourselves. And can we do that? Yeah. But it wasn't a demand. It was a request. And it's a, this is important to me. Can we do that? And if that was a no for anyone, then we could look at what, you know, what are the options here? What can we choose? But I've found that when I am willing to choose for me and have my voice about what works for me, not from a demand, not from an expectation, just from a clarity, and I communicate with my kids and from a space of what can we put in place so that this works for all of us. And one of my kids actually said, hey, Mom, what if you made a list of all the things around the house that you would like to have done, and then you put it on the table, and we get to pick which one would be fun for us? I'm like, okay, I can do that. Worked like amazing, because they all had different things they liked to do. So I'd create the list, and I didn't have an expectation. We didn't have to finish the list. Nobody had to do a certain number of things on the list. It was total choice. It was total they got to help create the thing. And then it was sort of a fun, oh, I'll do that one. Yeah, I don't mind doing that one. So, but it's being the invitation rather than making a demand. And when you invite and include, it creates a totally different environment where you can start to kind of dance with what works for all of you.
Awesome. We're going to take a short break here and we'll be right back and talk more about conscious parents, conscious kids.
Of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Who said life had to be hard and disempower you? What if all of life really could come to you with ease and joy? What if everything you saw as a wrongness of you was actually one of your greatest strengths? What if you could wake up every morning with a newfound sense of empowerment? Join Venus Castleberg to discover a world of infinite possibilities. Every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, Morning Musings goes live on the Venus Castleberg CF Facebook page. What magic can we create every day?
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. With me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm here with Marnie Barranco, and we're talking about conscious parents, conscious kids. I loved what you said before the break. And it's common, right, in this reality that it is this space of I'm the parent, you're the kid, you're supposed to do what I want, you know, like a dictatorship, right? And we all know it doesn't really work. Unless you're, you know, deathly afraid of your parents, so, which is possible. So how would somebody who grew up that way, who was taught that way, who sees everybody else being that way, change, like, how they approach children and ask questions? And, you know, were all of your kids on board with it when you first started it?
That's a good question. There really wasn't resistance. I really can't say that there was. I get that it's almost, because what I would say the change is when you move from that, you know, dictator, or I'm the parent, I know what's best for you, you should do what you're told because I know what's best, or, and then you switch to including them and asking questions and empowering them, and instead of trying to teach them by, you know, guiding them how you think they should go, you give them the skills to be aware of what their choices create for themselves. I get that they all really got the sense of being empowered, and it was something that they were maybe relieved even or happy about, or it gave it, it's like a sense of confidence. It was a sense of peace. It was a sense of So it really was, I would say, a positive shift for them. What I would say is kids already know these things. We kind of train it out of them by how we were brought up and what we think is right. And so returning to what they already know, they're like, finally, she's getting it. But to your question about the dictatorship and all that, or whatever your upbringing was, I think there's a really important piece to acknowledge what it was like for you, not from the space of being the victim or not from the space of how terrible your parents were, because that gets you nowhere. So I know for me, it just like looking at, oh, these are the choices my parents made with me. And I can acknowledge that, I can acknowledge what was, I can acknowledge that, you know, sometimes they were doing the best they knew with the tools they had. Sometimes they just didn't know what to do with me, you know, and whatever, they chose what they chose. But anywhere that I was holding on to anything to let it go, because if there's any residual resentment or judgment of how our parents or grandparents or whoever raised us, that will carry over. So there's a space of letting go of, you know, what's it going to take to really just anywhere that I've stuck myself with how I was raised. And a great way to do that is to ask the question, so if I were raising me the way I should have been raised, or the way I would have liked to have been raised, or the way that would have empowered me, what would that look like, and how can I be that for me now? So a really big piece, I would say, is reparenting yourself. Everywhere you don't give yourself choices, everywhere you're judging you and thinking you have to tick the boxes and follow the rules, everywhere you're just trying to, you know, all of those things, it's what if you set yourself free? And what if you started to parent you the way you should have been parented? What gifts can you impart to you? And as with all things, if we don't start with us, it becomes a doing or something we're trying to achieve or accomplish rather than a being that flows from us. And so when we start with ourselves with all of those things, then it can flow from there to our kids. And that's a very different space. And to start with you. And then just ask questions. I mean, really it is, all right, what else is possible? The only thing I know here with parenting is what I've seen. I don't like it. I know it doesn't work. I'd like to do something else. Honestly, I don't even know what the first step is. So rather than trying to figure that out, just keep asking, what else is possible? What else is possible that I've never considered? And if I were choosing for me, what would I choose? And if I would acknowledge what I know, what do I actually know? I think a really common lie for parents too. I mean, when you look at when someone finds out they're pregnant, I mean, boom, bookstores, what to expect when you're expecting. And then there's all these books and you're trying to figure out because you think everyone else needs to tell you what you need to know. But what if you acknowledge that you actually know way more than you've ever acknowledged and allowed yourself to? It's not that we can't receive input and ask questions to other people, but doing that from the space of, okay, I can look over here for some information and I will never allow that to trump my knowing, and I'm going to choose to have my knowing all the time.
Also, and what works for you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest changes I've seen for myself being a mother figure later in life, like that I didn't see coming, but has been like, am I being my parents right now? Like,
yes.
Am I just duplicating what I learned from my parents? And if I was the choosing one, what would I choose? Like, just in really being in that question, going, okay, so I'm aware right now I'm being my dad, and I'd like to let that go. And what can I choose? And you brought up a great thing in the very beginning, is like asking questions of them, asking questions of yourself, really giving yourself the space to make a different choice, especially if something's not working or you notice there's just a pushback. There's a pushback.
Yeah.
So, you know, where are we? I love Anthony Mattis the other day said he went to his daughter and said, you know, what's not working for you? And she goes, this and this and this and this, a whole bunch of things. And he went, okay, I'm sorry, I hear you. And I realized I've been doing caring through control.
Yes.
Could you speak to that a little bit more? Like, what would, because a lot of us do that. A lot of us think we're caring by trying to control what everybody else is doing.
Yes, and it goes back to the whole foundation of that controlling as care, is that we've decided we know what's best for our kids and we want to make sure they have it. We want them to be happy. We want them to be healthy. And where we get in trouble is we decide that it's up to us to do that and we know the best way to take them there. And so we try to control it so we make sure that they have a good outcome rather than trusting them and their choice. And it goes back to their infinite beings and little bodies. They have choice and their choice creates. They have choice. Every choice they make creates. And getting that, it's a bit of a shift. I mean, it is a bit of a shift. And just an example, one of the things that I really do with my kids when it comes to whether they go to sleep or whether they stay up, whether they eat sugar, whether they eat vegetables, whatever, is I say to them, could you just ask your body? Because your body will actually communicate with you, and they know that. I'm the one who had to relearn that. That's like a duh. But so, for the last 7 years, maybe longer, that's kind of the conversations that we have. And just a couple weeks ago, my 11-year-old decided to stay up all night and texting with his friends. And I was like, it just said, all right, you know, just check in with your body. So, and then I went to bed. And then the next day, he was up all day and he fell asleep about 4 p.m. on the couch. And when he woke up, I said, you need to go to bed. And because obviously you're catching a conclusion, there was zero question in my universe. There was zero ask your body. You need to go to bed because obviously you're tired. So you can stay here on the couch or you can go upstairs, but you need to sleep. And he went up to his room and he was in there for a while. And then he comes out and he has tears and he's like, I can't sleep. And it just hit me. I said, I am so sorry. There was zero question in my world for what does your body require and what do you know? And you make your choice and then let it create what it creates. That went out the window. And again, I've been using these tools for 7 years and just in a flash, I was back to, this is what you need. Now go to bed. And yeah. So I said to him, I was trying to control because my care decided this is what he needed. And so I just said to him, I am so sorry. You know, I am so sorry. I am like the advocate of you listen to your body, and that is not what I just did to you. So thank you for bringing it up. And, you know, and he's like, it's okay, Mom. And it was, you know, it was done. But just that, just recognizing that that is so ingrained in us. I care for you. Therefore, I must you know, determine your best path of action and what's going to be best for you. And then I try to control you, and then you resent me. And I don't know why you resent me, because I do this because I love you. And they're going, why can't you let me be? Because I'm an infinite being who actually knows as well. And you're trying to tell me your knowing is superior to mine.
Oh, wow. So thank you for saying all that. And I do see that. And let's use a different example.
Sure.
So you have a kid that's amazingly smart, has been offered full ride scholarships to colleges, and is in debate of whether to go to college or not.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's interesting. It's like you want them to have everything and yet be an allowance of them choosing their life.
Yes. So a very big thing, and again, I would go back to interesting point of view. I have that point of view, because how many points of view come in for parents in that scenario? Of, oh my gosh, do you know how many people would love to have that opportunity? And you're just going to piss it away. And you know what I would have given to have that opportunity? I had to work myself through college, and so all the points of view that want to come in, number one. So interesting point of view, I have that point of view. And also anywhere, here's the thing, our kids are the best facilitators of us on the planet. Anywhere we have a point of view, anywhere we have a limitation, anywhere we're sticking ourselves with anything, they will just show up with that very thing in your face, and you're going, ah, there it is.
It's so true.
Right? So in that, anywhere that there's any conclusion that she can make a wrong choice, or even that one choice would be greater than another, it's the willingness to look at that and go, wow, I'm still functioning from right and wrong. If there was no right and there was no wrong, would I have any point of view about what she chose? Or anywhere that I've decided that, you know, if she misses this opportunity, that's it. She's going to struggle, or this opportunity will never come around again. So she, in anything, there's just all the things that it brings up. So it's an awesome opportunity and a gift and a possibility to look at any lies that you as the parent are buying into. And then also the willingness to let your kid go and choose no matter what. And when I say no matter what, I mean no matter what. I mean, I told the story on a different call. My son was, he was like early teens, about 13-ish. And there was suicidal stuff going on in his world. It was not him, but in his mind it was him. And it wasn't that he was very verbal about it, but he said enough things once in a while, and I could perceive the energy of it. And there were times when he'd go in his room and shut the door, and that energy was so strong in my house. And there was this like panicky thing of, I cannot let this happen. What do I need to do? I have to intervene. And I'm not saying that we don't take steps to get our kids, assistance from someone else when it's required. Absolutely. If something's required, ask questions and follow what's light with that. But what the gift in that for me was, it brought me to, what if that was his choice? And I know that a lot of people cannot hear this, but what if that was his choice? Would you be in allowance of his choice no matter what it is? You can take that to drugs. You can take it to whatever. And it doesn't mean that you advocate or even support their choice. It doesn't mean that you stand around and let them be the victim to you, that you come on the other end of abusive choices that they're making. I'm not saying any of that, because you have to include you in the computation. Mm-hmm. You have to choose what works for you. And if we're not willing to lose our kids, then in the end, we're going to pay a high price, and they always have the upper hand in all the things, because we're not actually willing to let them go and to lose them if that's what they choose. Not an easy thing to get to. And when we get to it, that's where there's total freedom, and that's where there is the total space to create something different with that relationship.
Oh, beautiful. So, and I've seen this too, and like the willingness to let them fail and let them, there is no real failure, but whatever, like you said, like, okay, you stay up all night, then you get tired, to see what that creates or doesn't create, and I've had parents that are like, they have to get up and go to school. And it's like, well, do they really? If they don't enough, you know, something will happen, but that's what that's creating. They get to see that if you let them choose.
Yeah. But it's letting them fully have that choice as well. So with the choice to stay up all night, that doesn't mean the next day you get coddled. That doesn't mean the next day you get to be rude and mean, because then I'm going to choose something else. You know, all right, so you're tired and you're being cranky. You know what? I don't choose to be around cranky, so I'm going to go do this now. And if you want to choose cranky, choose it by yourself. See you later. Yeah. So, and what if they're two? Take them to a babysitter. I mean, you have to be willing to follow through on let them choose and then let them be aware of that choice creates. Of what that choice creates. And if you run interference, if you think it's your job to keep your kids happy, then you will interfere with what that choice created and try to make it easy for them. And they're never actually going to be empowered to get, oh, my choice created that. That wasn't fun. I'm going to choose something else.
Cool. Yeah, I had that the other day. And I'm curious what you might want to say about this. I think we're going to take another quick break, though. So we'll be right back and talk more about conscious parents, conscious kids.
Best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with Marnie Barenko, and we're talking about conscious parents, conscious kids. And you said something right before the break that I thought was really cool. It's like you allow them to have their choices, and you allow them to have the results of those choices.
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, one of them decides it doesn't want to wear a coat in the snow, and then they get a cold. And then you don't baby them or make, you know, like, would you make them go to school anyway?
I don't, and this is like, there's not a pat answer to that. It really is, because it's, you know, it depends on the kid, and there's so many dynamics and factors to that. You know, if they're actually sick and a fever, they're going to send them home anyway. But mm-hmm. then again, and it wouldn't, you're not being mean, but it's like you're not going the, you know, oh, let me take extra care of you. It's kind of
right.
Like, oh, well, that was an interesting choice, huh?
Cool.
Oh, go ahead.
Please. No, please.
My favorite story, Aaron was, let's see, 4, and I was working from home, but I took him to preschool like 3 days a week, and so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he would go. So we came home on a Wednesday after school, and Thursday morning I'm working, and he comes walking down the stairs just sobbing, and he's got this little toy car in his hand. I'm like, dude, what's going on? And through many tears, he tells me that this is not my toy. It was in my friend's cubby, and I really liked it, and so I took it. And I said, okay, well, doesn't sound like that choice is working out so well for you. And so I said, well, what do you want to do? And he goes, can we take it back? And I said, yeah, tomorrow? No, can we do it now? And I really got, yeah, this is like one of those, call it a teachable moment or a moment where there's something, some awareness available that wasn't there before. And I got, like, yeah, take him. So we went to school, and he went to his friend, and he just held out the truck and their car, whatever it was, and said, I saw this in your cubby, and I took it, and I'm sorry. And his friend just, like, hugged him around the neck, and, oh, thank you. I was wondering where that was. And then he takes off running, and not a thing in his world. And so we're leaving the school, and I just turned to Aaron, and I said, so what do you know now that you didn't know before? And he said, I know it doesn't work for me to take things that aren't mine. So if I had jumped in with, what the heck's wrong with you? What do you mean you took a kid's toy? Don't you know it's bad to steal? Boom, moment gone. You know, or if I brushed it over like, well, I guess you got away with it, you know. But no, here in his world, he's going, wow, the result of this choice doesn't feel good, Mom. I want to choose something else. But letting him have that, not making him wrong for it one single step of the way, because it's not about that was bad and wrong. That was a choice that created a something that now you can choose something else. And when we empower our kids that way to let them choose, let not intervene with the result that shows up, be there, be aware, I'm here, and I'm also not going to fix this because it's not my job, and let them have it, then we empower them. And that carries through into life where they get to know that they get to create their life. They're empowered to do so. Mm. It's not about anybody else.
Awesome. That's beautiful. Yep.
Well, and I would say along with that, and one of my favorite things that Gary Douglas says about parenting is basically your job as a parent is to make your kids needless of you. And it's an interesting thing when you really look at that, because it is very opposite of kind of, I mean, a baby's born into the world. They require you 24/7. You've got to do all the things. But then as they grow, it really is our job, piece by piece, step by step, to, as they are able, empower them to do what they can do for themselves, empower them to choose and be aware of what their choice creates, and to really get to the place where they know they've got this. And if we have any point of view that, you know, we require our kids to need us, or it's our job to take care of them, or it's our job to make sure that everything turns out okay, then we're not going to have a target of making them needless. We're going to want them to be dependent on us. And so would we be willing to be there, support them, and always let them do for themselves what they can do for themselves?
Wow, that's amazing. So, and would you give some examples of, like, things that you do specifically to empower them to choose what's best for them?
Well, I would say I give a lot of space for them to do that, meaning when it comes to if there's something I need them to do, like they need to come with me on a particular thing for whatever reason, I always give them the information. Hey, here's what's going to happen. Here's what I need from you. And then I include them in, is there something that would make this fun for you? Or are you good with this? Or if you're not good with this, is there something that would make it more fun or easy for you? So there's always including them in it. And just a sort of side note, you know, I hear a lot of parents, and you see them, if you go to McDonald's Playlands and then it's time to leave and the kids are just having an absolute freak out fit because they don't want to go. A really simple thing, like with all of my kids, is letting them know like, hey, here's the plan for the day. We're going to go to the grocery store. Then we're going to take the groceries home. Then we need to let the dog out. And then we're going to go to McDonald's. We'll probably be there for about an hour, even though they don't know what an hour means. What they do know is that you are aware of them and that this whole thing involves them, and you're including them in it by giving them information. So, I mean, think of us as adults when we're creating on a project or we're working on a team. When we don't have all the information, we feel out of sorts. It's like, what am I missing? What's happening here? What's going on? There's some information I require. And again, infinite being, little body, they're wired the same. They need the information. So including them in that so they know what's happening. And then even in the case of you're at McDonald's or Chuck E. Cheese, hey, 30 minutes, we're going to go. You're putting back in their head, even though they know don't know what 30 minutes is, you're bringing back into their awareness, hey, we're not staying here forever. This is going to come to an end, so keep having fun. And, hey, 15 more minutes. So there is in their world, and it seems like a little thing, but it makes such a difference because it's the energy of you matter, I'm aware of you, my energy's with you, and I'm including you by giving you all the information. That is an acknowledgement of their being, an acknowledgement of their value, an acknowledgement that they matter, and that creates such an ease and space in their world. And kids are still going to have tantrums, but that eliminates, that little piece eliminates a lot of that. And then when it comes to choices in life that, you know, involve them, and of course it's, you know, 2-year-old and a 10-year-old, there's a difference in how much you go, hey, you can, you know, where do you want to go to school? You don't say that to a 2-year-old, but you've got a 10-year-old, they're getting ready for middle school. Include them. Let them go to the schools. Let them have a say. And again, it doesn't mean they always get what they want. And there's this dance of letting them choose. And there are times when you're like, wow, as a parent, I'm going to have to make the call on this one. This is something I really get. I'm going to have to make the call on and be the bad guy possibly on this one. And that's okay too. So it's not a, I see so often parents err on one side or the other. They err on dominating and controlling, or they err on, I'm the doormat and my kid calls all the shots. It is neither of those, because healthy parenting kids works for both of you. And in the dominating scenario and the doormat scenario, it's not working for all parties involved. So there's got to be a way where there is a dance of, yep, I'm the mom. And yep, I also desire to empower you and really, what's the word I'm looking for? Just show you, I don't really love the word teach, but show you to choose for yourself.
And be an allowance of that.
Where we get stuck is we're always looking for the formula. The questions in parenting classes I get the most. My kid's in the high chair and they throw their food on the floor. How do I stop it? Give me the how, give me the what, give me the thing that's going to fix it. And that is not conscious parenting and conscious kids, because that is... Give me a solid solution so I can fix what I've decided is the problem, so I can go on autopilot and not have to be present and deal with these things. Conscious parenting, conscious kids is I'm willing to be present with all things, no matter what shows up. I'm willing to ask questions and have awareness. I'm willing to get it wrong. I'm willing to choose and then choose again. I'm willing to count me and count my kids, and there is no final answer. It's only questions and only choice and only... just continuing to honor, trust, acknowledge one another.
Wow.
And to know we hit the target sometimes and sometimes we don't, and that's okay.
Right. And then I loved what you said, like you just, when you saw that, you just acknowledged it and said, hey, sorry, I didn't mean to go back into automatic pilot, you know?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And sometimes it can help too to take a moment to get yourself, like you said, addressing yourself, but get yourself clear so that you can actually have a conversation. I think one of the most valuable tools that I've found in parenting has also been the willingness to have no walls and no barriers.
Yeah.
And to not need to be right and just, you know, sit there and, you know, and maybe they feel like they really need to justify their point of view and be right. But if you don't have any walls and barriers or a point of view to be right, they run out of steam.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Because
there's nothing to fight against.
Right. Yeah. And that's been a huge contribution. It's just like, okay, so I get that you have a very strong point of view about this, and I can be an allowance of that and just not have to fight you and not have to be right. That's so great. Well, I do know that you have quite a few things coming up for CPCK. And I know we have a free Facebook Live on November 30th. Do you have the time of that?
Yes. It's 7 a.m. Pacific time.
Okay. Great.
And it's a free Facebook. Yes. And it will be on, well, you can find me on Facebook, Marnie Barranco, and I will have things posted there. And you can also go to accessconsciousness.com/Marnie Barranco and find all of my classes. I've got a two-day CPCK in India on January 12th and 13th, and that one is also live-streamed. You can watch it through a Zoom. And there is a...
Or go to India.
Or go to India. It's
yeah.
You could always do that.
Fun.
Yes. Yes. And then there's a Parenting Your Creations call, which is... Well, I think it's December. It's on my schedule. It's December something. But it's the whole idea of the energy of, as in parenting, as you are with your kids, with being with the things you're creating and your projects and your things that you're, yeah, creating in the world. So I'm excited for that call, actually, very.
Yeah, isn't it called Are You Parenting Your Creations?
Yes, Are You Parenting Your Creations, yes.
That's just a brilliant title in itself. It's like, yeah, I could see. Yeah. Like everywhere where we're trying to be in control.
Exactly. And where we're projecting, you should look like this by now. You should have this many people coming to the class by now. What's the matter with you?
That's awesome.
That always works, you know, when we do
that. Yeah. Great results.
Yeah, great.
And you, thank you. And they can find you, Marnie Barranco, on Facebook and Access Consciousness. Great. So let's go back just for a minute, because I know I've heard you personally tell this story, and I love this story about, like, you travel a lot for work, right?
Yeah.
And you know, constantly creating and stuff like that. And you have an 11-year-old. I'm like, so how do you work that out with your 11-year-old?
So going back to what I was saying earlier about giving all the information, I include him in saying, hey, here's the things that are happening. Here's the places I'm going. Here's the amount of time I'm going to be gone. You know, when he was younger, oftentimes he'd come with me. As he's gotten into middle school, his choice not to as much, because he doesn't like missing school. But so we have the conversation of, what's it going to take for this to work for you? This is something that I'm choosing. And I have to tell you, since you brought up the story, it's going to make me cry, because I had another lapse in parenting a couple days ago. I was looking at, because I've set up a worldwide tour for the first half of 2020 for CPCK, and I'm gone a fair bit. And when I go, it's, you know, 10 days, 14 days. And I said to him, hey, you know, I was going through all the dates, and I said, this is a lot. You know, maybe I should take some of these off. And he looked at me and said, please don't ever stop choosing for you. Do you not get what that's shown me? And I just, like, oh my goodness. So what a gift that was, because sometimes when you're choosing for you and all those things of, am I being selfish? Am I sacrificing my kids for myself? Am I giving them enough time? And all the rules of this reality that tell you what it's supposed to look like, and you go, well, it don't look like that for me, so I must be failing miserably. I was really grateful for his such genuine, transparent gratitude of, mom, don't ever stop choosing for you, because you've shown me that I can do that too.
Wow.
So if you don't choose for you, start. And if you do choose for you and you feel guilty, just remember what you're showing your kids for when they're adults and out doing their thing in the world, that they don't have to give themselves up for someone else. They can have them and be in communion with others too.
And like you said in the beginning, this isn't about you giving up you. It's not about them giving up them. It's about you both, you know, choosing for you and still being able to be in communion.
Yes.
Beautiful. So if you wanted anybody to get anything particular out of today, what key tools or key thoughts would you leave our listeners?
So, well, there's so many things, but the one thing I would say is, anywhere that you make yourself wrong or have feelings of guilt for the way that you have parented, it's okay to let them go. And we don't get anywhere when we're in judgment of ourselves. And what if you're not wrong? And a great question you can ask if you're stuck in that is, what's right about me that I'm not getting? And what's right about this that I'm not getting? And from that space, start to look at and play with, how can I parent me the way I should have been parented? And be the nurturing for you, be the kindness for you, be the gratitude for you. Give yourself the space to choose. Because as you do and be that for you, there's this trickle-down effect where it will just start to flow into the way you're parenting. So if you set out to, I must fix the way I'm parenting, good luck. You're not going to have much fun. It's going to be a lot of hard work, and you're not going to get a lot of results. But if you start with total kindness, gratitude, start all of the tools with you, and just let it flow from you to your kids, there is absolutely a possibility of joy and ease in the relationships with your kids. And it can be one of the greatest contributions in your whole world to you and you to your kids if you let yourself off the hook and just start to practice and choose kindness for you.
Beautifully put. Thank you so much, Marty, for being here. Thank you, folks, for listening. We'll hear you all next time.